yo, what's up, Raider Nation? Welcome to the Down With The Ship Week 1 game preview. We've got the Denver Broncos up first, Raiders at Denver, and it is the first game of the season, and so this is our official game preview podcast, which we're going to try to do before every game. Usually part of this preview will be reviewing the last game, and we didn't have a game last game. You know, it was all preseason, and we already talked about the preseason yep. in the last few podcasts. So this is going to be full-on previewing the Denver Broncos, what we expect. We toyed around a little bit with the game in the last podcast, which Raider Nation, we hopefully the recording issues are behind us. I know we were having quite a few technical difficulties on that last podcast, but you know, it turns out that I just needed a new SD card. Yeah, that was the issue. Now that I have one, and you know, like 125 gigs, man. I mean, I was like, I'm getting one of the best ones you could buy, and I did, and that seemed to solve the issue. That
back
last
in business.
One was, yeah, that last one was trash, but. We are back and better than ever, so hopefully this podcast makes up for the last one. And again, there's something kind of big to talk about this week. And Raider Nation, if you don't know or if you're not following the Chandler Jones drama, then you must be hiding under a rock or more of a casual fan, because I know the Chandler Jones stuff that's been going on this week and has just been all over the podcast, all over the talk shows, all over the message boards. I mean, everybody's talking, what the hell is going on with Chandler Jones? What do you think about the Chandler Jones situation? Actually, you know what, Sean? Let's talk about what's even going on. What have we seen? Like, what has he been posting?
So far, he went to, as a lot of players do, went to his social media. And pretty much, I believe it started with he said that he wasn't being let into the facility. Now, I listened to Q talk about it, and in order to get to the facility, everybody's got a card, and you go and scan your card. And if your card like doesn't click green and let you in, and it's red for some reason, somebody above in the higher like ranks of the Raiders organization locked you out. So apparently, it was Monday on Labor Day. He wasn't able to get into the gym. And I did see somebody post, like, didn't he know that it's Labor Day? Maybe the facility was closed. And I at first was like, what if that was it? Maybe he forgot that there was nothing going on.
Then, of course, Chandler Jones does what these players do when they go to social media and put the team on blast, which, for the record, I think that's 100% juvenile. It's like, come on, dude, be professional. You don't need to go to social media like a child. You know, I know Josh Jacobs did that. It's like, what are you guys doing? Did they think that's their only power to shame the team on social media?
Well, it's bullshit. I think that's like their outlet, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like the times that we're living in now, and it always works, you know what I mean? Agents are paying attention to it, you know, there's people in the organizations paying attention to it, and it is a way for you to get your voice out. And I think Chandler actually even mentioned that and was like, I never thought I'd take to these things to express myself, but this is the only place I feel like I could do it.
So, you know, he has a meltdown of sorts, and then the Raiders send a mental health wellness check person to his house, you know, and he takes a picture of her badge and then posts it on his Instagram too, you know, and basically laughs at the Raiders for, you know, caring to send somebody over, which if he is legitimately having a mental health breakdown, which he did in, did you hear that he had one in New England? Like, there was a situation where he had a freak out and ended up like in his underwear in the snow in New England.
Yeah, he was like praying or something like that when they rolled up on him or something.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't his brother have kind of a little bit of a screw loose?
John Jones, one of my favorite fighters in the UFC, but he had some addiction issues going on with like cocaine and stuff like that, and it kind of like derailed him in his career, but it seems like he's on a better path. But one of the other Chandler Jones things was, it was a letter he wrote. I believe it was like, oh, five people that he looked up to, and I believe Kanye West was on the list, Alden Smith, Antonio Brown.
Those are some great guys to look up to. All guys with really severe mental health issues. Yes. Those are the guys you're looking up to.
Pretty crazy.
You know, this whole thing reminded me of the Antonio Brown stuff that happened. It's like right before, was it 2019? Right before the season started, this guy had a meltdown, and I was so glad to get rid of him. I honestly can't stand Antonio Brown. The stuff that he did with the Raiders, like mental health stuff aside, like, get out of here.
Well, he didn't
as
even
far
play,
away from me as possible.
He didn't play one game with us. You know, we were all excited when we got him, and he didn't play one game. Chandler has a whole year behind him, which he didn't do that great either. You know what I mean?
That's what I was going to say. Like, Chandler puts in a whole year, but did he really put in a year? He had, what, 4 sacks last year? It's like, what do we pay him for?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the way everything's unfolding, it really does feel like a little bit of a mental breakdown to me. It doesn't make sense. I believe that there was a text, like, the week before all this went out, where he was, like, thinking Josh McDaniels for something or other. you know, and he's always like looking to God. All of his posts lately have just been like looking to God and praise God for another good day. It feels like maybe he's kind of coming out of it, but it might not be the end of it. And I mean, who knows if we see Chandler Jones again play a game.
Yeah, well, and if you look at some, again, some of the Instagram posts, he basically was blackmailing the team. Like, he, I don't know if you saw that one where he basically sent the text to Josh McDaniels and said, I'm playing in the first game, or I'm gonna like release the playbook, or, you know, tell your secrets.
Oh,
or something like that.
I missed that.
Oh yeah, dude. And if you look at the date of those, that was basically mid-August when Chandler Jones mysteriously stopped practicing. And of course the question was, where the hell has Chandler Jones been? Now we know it's a mental health breakdown.
We've been talking about it all offseason, you know, we multiple times in the podcast, where is Chandler Jones? Where is Chandler Jones? And, you know, you didn't hear anything about an injury or anything like that. And all of a sudden, you know, all these posts come up and, you know, maybe this has been going on, you know, under the scenes. The Raiders have been seeing it happen, and maybe they kind of let him around the facility and kind of noticed he was acting kind of weird, you know. And, you know, this season, CTE is a real thing, you know, in the NFL, and it's very scary. I don't want to be insensitive about it or whatever, but it's like they're kind of stopped making sense in a way, you know, and it's kind of sad, you know what I mean? Because you as a person, I imagine you don't understand what's happening to you, but you might not even make sense to yourself or whatever. And I don't know, it's a real thing. I mean, I hope Chandler gets the help that he needs. I honestly am not concerned with him playing for us at the moment, you know, like it seems like it's a lot deeper than football. And you know, I wish him the best for sure, you know. And it's, you know what, we got Tyree Wilson to kind of step in and take his place and get some more reps, and you know, we'll see what we got.
Yeah, you know, going back and you know, we gave our review of Tyree Wilson as a first pick, and I remember I was like, well, I mean, we have Chandler Jones, did we really need another defensive end? But like, yeah, we did.
There it is.
I mean, there it is. And when, you know, when we get to the game preview, we'll talk about Malcolm Kuntz and the position he's probably going to have to play as the starter now because Chandler's out. But staying on this Chandler Jones thing, I think you're right. You know, we don't want to forget the human element of this situation. He is a human being, and this could be, you know, a mental health crisis that he has to get through. And I think the team is doing the right thing by keeping everything in-house. I know that the media was trying to get the team to open up. You know, they asked McDaniels and they asked some of the team, and Max Crosby, they asked him, and everybody was like, we're not talking about it.
Yeah, sorry, it's in-house. We're not talking about it. Don't worry about it. Yep. We're good. That's Max
with court. It is pretty interesting to me, though, that Chandler Jones unfollowed Max Crosby on Instagram, but he's still following Hunter Renfrow. So it's like he's not unfollowing
the whole team,
just Max Crosby, you know. And I think Max Crosby being the team leader, he probably called Jones and was like, hey, what the hell, man? Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you putting yourself above the team? And Chandler probably didn't like that. But I mean, I can imagine Max doing that. I mean, it's his team. Like, he's the guy. This is conduct that could potentially be detrimental to the morale inside that locker room. So if you come in and then you have Chandler Jones, who's supposed to be a team leader, you know, one of these guys that bought in. As a matter of fact, Ziegler and McDaniels filled that locker room with guys that have quote unquote bought in. You know, guys that bought into the system, and anybody that was a malcontent, like, you know, Derek Carr, Darren Waller, they shipped them out of town. It's like, all right, if you're not going to buy into what we want, if you're not going to be a loyal soldier, then you're out of here. And so the idea was that Chandler Jones was a soldier, but unfortunately now he's putting himself above the team, which is exactly what the situation is. And so it seems to me that younger guys on the team will see somebody who's supposed to be a leader like Chandler Jones questioning McDaniels and Ziegler, and maybe that's how the seed of doubt starts, you know. And so maybe this Chandler Jones situation could undermine the, you know, the entire authority of this season. I want to say that it's funny, because every year it's freaking something with this damn team, and we can never just not have drama. You know what I mean? But unfortunately, it is what it is, man. Like, you can't rage against the gods and be like, well, why is this always happening? Why is it always the Raiders? You know, it's like, yes, the Raiders are always the most penalized team. Yes, the Raiders always have some malcontent that's going to fly off the handle. You know, yes, the Raiders are always really secretive and they do stuff that's really irritating. It's like a perfect example. When they released, you know, whenever every team like released their final 53-man roster, is it 53 or 52? I think it's 53.
Yeah, 53.
When they finally released their 53-man roster, They were supposed to have it in by 1 o'clock, and every team had it in by 1 o'clock. The Raiders like turned theirs in at four, and it's like, I know that they probably feel like it's a competitive advantage, but honestly, what it is an F you to the fans. Like, it's a big middle finger. It's like the fans are really hoping to get this information. We're all waiting to hear who made the team, and the Raiders are dragging their feet. Like, that's the kind of stuff that pisses me off. Like, why are, you know, if a player could potentially be injured or not, it's like, oh, we're not gonna be upfront about that because we want to maintain a competitive advantage. But man, the Raiders haven't been competitive in forever, so obviously it's not working. Just come out and say, this guy's hurt, this is his injury, he's not going to play. What's going on with Chandler Jones? It's obviously a mental health crisis. We're trying to get him help, but all the team is on board. Why can't you say that by going, oh, we're keeping it in-house? All you're doing is creating doubt in the minds of the fans that you guys know what you're doing. I still don't trust Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler. I don't. I will not. Until we go through and we win and look competitive the first few games of the season, I'm not going to trust what these guys are doing. I can't do it. You know, I've been burned too many times, you know, and this situation, I mean, it's hard for me, Raider Nation, to sit here and say that I'm trying to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, I was right there with everybody else going, it figures, you know, of course this happened, because it always happens every year with the Raiders.
Yeah, I think, first off, with the Chandler Jones situation, I'm cool with mum is the word. I mean, I don't even know if all the players have the specifics, you know, and so they're probably like, we just haven't seen him. We don't know what's going on, you know, or we know what you know. And I think until all the facts come out, it's better to just keep their mouth quiet, you know, because it's a man's life. And I don't know if he's got kids, but he's got family, you know, and they don't want to see him all just slandered, like, oh, he's having a mental health breakdown, you know, like maybe they want to keep that kind of personal or whatever. But you're right. The Raiders have always been real secretive about all their information. And the one thing that sticks out to me is when you told me about this Chandler Jones information, all it is another distraction. And that's what hit me the most. These players need to just, I mean, they're young still, you know, but it's week one. You got to focus on the Broncos, you know, and now it's like this, they're getting hit up about Chandler Jones, and maybe Chandler Jones is a friend to some of these guys, and they don't even know what's happening to their friend. And so now, as a man, you're worried about your friend, but you also got to get your head around this Broncos game.
Well, his best friend on the team is supposed to be Max Crosby, and he unfollows him on Instagram, which is super childish, again. But it's like, come on, dude, Max Crosby's bought in. Max Crosby is full bore, top five defensive end in the league, and you're going to be a child and unfollow him probably because he told you to figure your crap out. Like, unfortunately, I think, I mean, of course, I'm guessing, Raider Nation, and you know, that's what we do as you know, talking heads, quote unquote, is we guess, we try to figure out what's going on behind the scenes. And, you know, for all we know, there's probably more to it than this, but, you know, at least I can say from a fan's perspective, it's very, very frustrating, very unmotivating to, you know, for the season. I mean, I'm not gonna say it's gonna bombard the season for me, but this was like the last thing that we needed. You know what I mean? It feels like all these teams are buttoning down. Like, look at the Lions, right? You take a team like Detroit, who they were the worst team, one of the worst teams in football like 3 years ago. I mean, 2 years ago, they drafted that Hutchinson kid like first overall. They were bad. And now they just went into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs 21-20. And that right there is a turnaround. And that is owed to their general manager and their head coach. Dan Campbell is a fantastic head coach. Those guys would run through a brick wall for him. They have a lot of talent. You notice they don't try to be secretive about stuff. They 1 o'clock, they release their 53-man roster on cutdown day. Like, they don't do this Mickey Mouse bullshit that the Raiders do, you know, and it never works for the Raiders anyways. So, you know, I get your frustration, Raider fans. Like, if you're sitting there and you're listening to this podcast and you're getting riled up with me, then you get it, right? You understand how frustrating it has been with from Jamarcus Russell and Antonio Brown and Lane Kiffin and Al Davis writing, you know, the stuff on the overhead projector, and now with the Chandler Jones stuff and all, you know, the Derek Carr situation and all the stuff that the media has ripped the Raiders for the last decade or so of just being completely inept. And it's like, of course nobody's giving us a shot this year. You know what's funny? The Raiders looked good in the preseason. We have talent on both sides of the ball. We have a top 10 left tackle with Colton Miller. We've got the best wide receiver in football, arguably, with Devontae. The best running back in football with Josh Jacobs. We've got probably one of the best number two wide receivers with Jacoby Myers in the league. We have Max Crosby, top five defensive end, right? And you're telling me that we're going to be bottom five in the league, right? They're basing their prognostications on the fact that we have been a joke, and they're just, nobody's giving us the time of day. And you know what? That's fine. Competitive advantage. I guarantee you the Broncos aren't taking it seriously. Did you see, and we can segue into the Broncos. I'm done with the Chandler Jones stuff. So let's segue into the Broncos. Did you see some of the media, like interviews with the Broncos this year or this past week?
I listened to the Patrick Surtain interview, and I thought, honestly, I thought that young man, because I respect him as a cornerback, I thought he handled himself pretty well. He didn't really, like, he made it more about the team. He's like, you know, it's not just me and Devontae that are out there. You know, he's like, we're a whole defensive unit. I mean, I don't know. I think for as young as he is, he's pretty mature for his age.
Yeah, but did you hear the one with that Greg Dulcich guy or whatever, their tight end? They asked him another question. He implied that the organization was just a bunch of clowns and that we don't know what we're doing. And you know, I actually just found this out listening to Q. Did you know that Denver asked for the Raiders to be their first game?
Oh, wow.
Like, Sean Payton basically says, we want the Raiders because he thinks he's going to come in and steamroll us.
Hey, why do they get that? Why do they get what they want, though?
Well, it's because the league hates the Raiders. Dude, I'm sorry. Everybody be like, oh, it's not a conspiracy. Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's Raiders.
Hey, how many times did the Chiefs jump false start in that game the other night? And the NFL let it go.
It was egregious. But and then, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, but everybody, like, there was a whole bunch of players. Like, half the players were like, yeah, what is this? And the other half were like, no, that's perfectly legal. He's allowed to do that. And it's like, no, he's not, dude. Why are we coddling the Chiefs? But the thing is, the league has an agenda. If we were this close to WWF, it's like, what do we want ultimately? Okay, so we don't want these teams, we want these teams. You know what I mean? It is getting frustrating, and it has been frustrating to be a Raider fan for so long. And then there are those fans that will be like, well, if you're frustrated, then jump ship. It's like, no, dude, I'm allowed to voice my frustration, dude. I spend so much time and mental effort into following the Raiders. I spend my money on jerseys. I sit here with my brothers and record a podcast once a week whenever I can. And I sit and I edit the podcast for hours because I love this team so much, right? I watch, you know, the Raiders have that Silver and Black show on YouTube. I watch that every week. You know, I rewatch games. I watch every player in all the games. Like it's sick. I'm sick. That's what it is.
You are sick.
It is a masochistic perspective. I mean, it has everything to do with the fact that Dad was a Raider fan. I think that's the issue. I think that's why I'm so passionate about that.
Hey, Raider Nation. Hey, you guys need to send Matty Mayhem some hugs over here. My brother. Hey, I get the frustration though. I mean, as a Raider fan. You know, I mean, maybe the Raider fans that have only been a Raider fan for a couple years are like, I don't get it. You got to just wait. It's, you know, and you're like, well, you've only been waiting for 2 years. You know, we've been waiting our whole lives for this to happen, and we've just been a garbage team. And the thing that's dumb is, remember 2016 when we did have a good year? How many people in the media, everywhere in the world, Raider bandwagon jumpers? All of a sudden, everybody had Raider clothes on, and everybody's waiting for the Raiders to be good, but they're just going to make fun of them until they're not. Yeah. You know, and the real fans are the ones that are frustrated and voice their frustration, like my brother right here and myself, you know. So I mean, we feel your pain, Raider Nation. It's just like, and every year this is gonna be it, and that's what people joke about. Oh, Raider fans are always like, this is it, this is gonna be our year. And it is us. That is what we say. You know, and we always fall for the, like Q says, the banana in the tailpipe.
No, I think it has. I honestly, and Raider Nation, I don't want to bring the podcast down, but our dad and Anarchy Margie. Our dad passed away like 12 years ago, and he was a huge Raider fan. And so I think the passion that I have for this team, that we have for this team, kind of, for me at least, psychologically derives from that. You know, that's why it's so frustrating to me. And I think that the media doesn't understand that. For some of us, it's deeply, deeply personal. You know, that's why, you know, some fans can be like, oh, I like this team. Like for example, you take another sport. Like, I like the Warriors. I love them. They're my favorite basketball team. I've been following them for about a decade too. You know, I love the players. I could tell you all the players, you know, but it's not, I'm not a diehard Warriors fan. You know, like I'm not spending money to buy jerseys. I'm not going to see the games. I just like the Warriors, and I don't even watch baseball. So I couldn't even tell you what team I like.
Don't even get me started on the Angels.
Right. But Dad was a Raiders fan. And so unfortunately I'm ride or die Raiders fan. And so these types of situations are going to be frustrating, you know, for me, and not just because I'm a fan who's starved for them to win. I mean, I am starved for them to win, but I think at this point it's a little bit deeper. Who knows? Maybe I have to see a therapist about that. All right, let's move over to the Denver Broncos game. So again, they have been talking all kinds of good shit in their interviews. But I don't know. Did you see that interview? Somebody posted. It's an old interview, and they were talking to Marcus Peters when he was still on the Ravens.
Oh yeah.
And Mark, it sounds like Marcus Peters does not like Sean Payton.
It sounded like he wanted to see him in the streets, yeah, dude.
Dude, I love the fact that we got Marcus Peters, man. I can't wait, dude. I hope he takes one to the house this week. But dude, I would love to go in there and just shut them down and watch everybody go, what? What? The Raiders are actually good? What are we doing? No, you know what they do? If we went and beat the Broncos, they'd be like, oh, the Broncos are terrible. Russ is washed. The Raiders aren't good. They even lost to a bad team like the Raiders. That's what they would do. I guarantee it.
Well, they haven't beat us in a long time, so.
They haven't. It's been like 7 games,
and they're still favored.
Yeah. Even when the Raiders were bad, we were still beating the Broncos. I don't understand that at all. They're favored, I think, because they're in Denver. And so, actually, let's talk about what the Broncos could potentially bring. I think that Jerry Jeudy's probably not going to play this week.
I've been watching. He's been questionable. He got in some limited reps this week. I think it's probably just maybe to kind of get us to have to plan for him, but maybe he won't show. Nah, but he's questionable as of today.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play. But their running back is supposed to be, you know, pretty formidable.
Yeah, coming off an injury. Shoot, I need to remember his name. I had him in fantasy. Javonte Williams. Yeah. I believe, right?
Well, double check, because I don't want to give out the wrong information. But again, and of course, their tight end is that Greg Dulcich guy that was also, or Dulcich, or Dold, whatever. Greg, who gives a crap.
Yeah, Javonte Williams.
Yeah, so Javonte Williams, their running back. Hopefully we can stop that run game. But who do they even have besides Jerry Jeudy over there? Like, what other wide receivers do they have?
Man, Cortland Sutton, he was decent. Tim Patrick is IR. They got a bunch of people that are injured.
Yeah, it sounds to me like their offensive line and their offense, it's kind of hurting. You know, the offensive line, they were supposed to be revamped, but like, I mean, I think they have Mike McGlinchey, right? If McGlinchey is supposed to be your savior, I think you might have some problems. So I'm not worried about their offense. I mean, I know Sean Payton came there to improve the offense, and, you know, they say that Russell Wilson has lost weight. I think he was playing at 230 last year, and he's down to like 205. Another good thing that Sean Payton did is he basically told Russ that all, you know, Russ brought all his people in. He had like an entourage of people, like his dietitian and his personal workout guys and his personal whatever, like his publicist and all his bull crap. And Sean Payton's like, nope, all of them are out. You're just a regular dude. So start acting like a normal dude. Cause yeah, he's a weird dude, man. I'm so glad we don't have Russell Wilson on our team.
Yeah, they
dude.
Said over there in Seattle, like none of the players had his actual number. You had to call somebody and wait for that guy to get to Russell to get back to you. And
that's
it's
ridiculous,
like, come on,
dude. That's ridiculous, dude. Nobody's that
so
good.
So lame. Is it because he's married to Ciara?
Who cares, dude? Like, whatever. He at least he's the Broncos' problem. I think it's hilarious. The Bronco fans, remember, the reason they hired Nathaniel Hackett last year is because they wanted Aaron Rodgers, right? So they're like, oh, we're going to get Aaron Rodgers. And then they got fat Russell Wilson instead. And then now they're probably watching the Jets. Aaron Rodgers goes over there and brings all those weapons, and they're building like an all-star team over there. And the Broncos fans are like, man, it's messed up, dude. Look at, we still have this, you know, Russell Wilson. And I guess they're all hoping that Sean Payton brings a miracle to the Broncos. I don't buy into that offense. Now the defense, let's talk about. I mean, that defense is supposed to be top five this year, is what I heard. You know, I mean, think about the defense. Who sticks out to you the most on the defense?
I mean, obviously Patrick Surtain, man. Yep. I mean, I love the way that guy plays. Matter of fact, it's fun just watching him going against any team. I mean, he's definitely one of the best in the league right now.
Yep, Surtain going up against Devontae. You know, although Devontae got the best of him last game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was the one thing, dude. You know, I told you how Patrick Surtain was asked about Devontae in his press conference. I don't know if you had heard, but when they asked Devontae about going up against Patrick Surtain, Devontae goes, "I'm 2-0 against him. Looks like I'm going to go 3-0." Like, I can't wait to be 3-0.
Dude, I hope that Devontae is like taking it personally, that the league is just like, yeah, Devontae's washed. You know what I mean? Like, it's all Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp, and nobody gives a crap about Devontae. So, I mean, it's because he's on the Raiders, of course. But you know, other standouts on that defense, I would say you probably have to give props to Randy Gregory. Like, you know, when he's not injured and he's got his head pulled out of his ass, he's a pretty good pass rusher. And of course, Justin Simmons is a great safety they got over there. So going to be hard to pass on the Broncos, but I think you can absolutely run on them. And let's not forget, we have the Bronco killer, and that's Josh Jacobs. Has he had a bad game against the Broncos ever in his career?
I don't think so. He really tore him up last year too.
And you know he's going to be hungry. He didn't play at all in the preseason, so he should theoretically eat.
Be fresh.
Like, literally just be fresh and feast on those Broncos. You know what I mean? And our offensive line, I mean, we've got pretty decent run blocking. I will say I'm really stoked that our offensive line seems to be solidified. Fairly certain that Thayer Mumford won the right tackle spot, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's Jermaine Illuminor.
Illuminor got it?
Yeah, he is going to start.
Well, whatever. But, as long as Alex Barrs isn't anywhere near the team, I'm happy. Like, great GVR, Greg Van Roten. Yeah. Like, I love it, dude. The guy's a veteran. He looked great in the preseason. Obviously, Dylan Parham is going to be solid. Colton Miller, one of the best left tackles in the game. And Andre James, dude, all of a sudden, just a reliable, steady center for us. So our offense against their defense, I like to see how that works. It's like our strength versus their strength. Now, our defense is also what remains to be seen. You know, and let's talk about the absence of Chandler Jones. With Chandler Jones down, it sounds like Malcolm Kuntz might be the next man up. Heard some good things about him out of camp. Heard some good things about Tyree Wilson out of camp. But I think that they're going to have Tyree Wilson on a pitch count, a quote-unquote pitch count, essentially. They'll limit his number of plays because he's still, you know, coming back from that foot injury. But apparently... the local media said that Malcolm Kuntz looks like he kind of put it together this year and he's finally turning it around. You remember Malcolm Kuntz came from Buffalo, just like Khalil Mack. And he's a big dude. He's like 6'3". Like he's a big guy and he's supposed to be fast. So hopefully he's able to, you know, kind of put it together and be a force there on the other side. But if not, they got Tyree Wilson too, and it'll be really fun to see if Tyree Wilson can kind of put it together. And start playing with his eyes open.
I mean, we talked about depth on this show before, but there's not a lot of depth. You know, you find out now that Chandler's out, there's like three defensive ends to play. And now you got Max Crosby, you know, who plays 98% of the snaps, which is amazing. He's 100% of all the time. But, I mean, I hope those guys are in shape and ready as much as Max is.
I'm fairly certain they brought back Isaac Rochelle. I think he's on the practice squad, and he's a defensive end. And he actually looked pretty good. He flashed a few times in the preseason, so I think they'll probably bring him up. Do you think that we see Chandler Jones at all this year, or has he played his last snap with the Raiders?
Honestly, I mean, one of the last tweets I seen him today was, you know, he's like, he was bummed not to be out there with his guys going to beat the Broncos, and he was like, go beat the Broncos or whatever. And I'm like, all right, maybe he's like coming back down to earth. I mean, I hope we can see him in there. You know, I hope he gets the help he needs or whatever, figures it all out with the team. I mean, you know, he obviously straight said on his social media, I don't want to play with McDaniels or Ziegler. You know, and he wanted to just go play with our defensive coordinator, Patrick Graham. He's like, Patrick Graham, Ivy League. Josh McDaniels and Ziegler got to kind of just shine that on as like, hey, he wasn't in his right head at the moment and actually believe it and actually give him a chance again for him to come back at all.
Is Chandler Jones going to make up with Max Crosby too? I mean, this is Max's team. Like, this team is nobody else's but Max's team. So, you know, if you're over here making enemies with the head coach, the GM, and the dude on the team, like, I just don't see you coming back from that. And you know what? Dude, trade Chandler Jones for like a fourth round draft pick, and you know what we need? Get another linebacker, for goodness sakes, man. Bring somebody in. Like Mo Moten keeps saying on Silver and Black today, like, bring in Patrick Queen. You know, send some draft picks over to Baltimore and get us a linebacker, because I do not have much faith in the dudes that we have. Like, Divine Diablo is solid, Spillane is solid, but neither one of them are superstars. But theoretically, and if I know anything about football, your linebacking core can be the weakest spot on the team. I mean, that's why they're running a 4-2-5, because having good DBs is more important than having good linebackers, is what I understand about defensive strategy. I will say, pretty impressive and really excited to watch Jakorian Bennett, who it looks like has won the starting outside cornerback spot outside of Marcus Peters.
Well, it's weird, on that first depth chart, they had him like the second, you know, they had Hobbs and Marcus Peters, you know, as one and two, which usually is the two outsides.
It usually is, but I think that that's just the way that they did it, because everything that I've heard, even from the local media, it sounds like Jakorian Bennett's going to start. You know, they gave him number zero.
Yep, and they call first grader.
Yeah, they call him Sub-Zero now, dude. I think that's dope, dude.
Yeah.
But just really excited to watch him play. I went back and watched some of his college tape, and he is just lights out, man. I hope. And of course, he's going to have his bumps and bruises. You know that Denver is going to go after him. They're not going to go after Rocket Peters.
Oh, yeah. They're going to put him to the test. Welcome to the league.
Yeah, they're going
to
be like, all right, you can start a rookie on that side. Either that or they attack Hobbs, who kind of had a bad year last year.
Yeah, he was injured, though, coming off that hand injury or something like that. And, you know, I think he was playing injured for a bit. And I don't know. Hopefully that was the problem. He's healthy.
He was, but I also feel like he was kind of playing out of position. I think he's a slot cornerback. Like, just put him in the slot, leave him in the slot. That way he can come up and help in run support because he's a really good run tackler, you know, running back tackler.
Hey, speaking of Nate Hobbs, man, I mean, it's known that, or I don't know if you guys know it, but Nate Hobbs, like, he grew up a Raider fan. You know, he had a Raider jersey when he was a kid. And that's one thing I want to just mention right now is, like, Davante Adams, when he was a kid, he wanted to play for the Raiders, you know, like, Marcus Peters, his dad finally gets to wear his jersey, you know, because coming from Oakland, dude, he grew up a Raider fan. Like, these are some guys that, like, that are on our team, and they're just the whole life they wanted to play on the Raiders. And that's why even people are like, Devontae wants to leave. And he's like, no, I want to win with this team.
Yep.
And I love that the players that we have right now, it does feel everybody wants to be a part of that Raiders team that turns it around. Because you know what? The whole world's going to jump on board. The bandwagoners are going to come. And Raider Nation's going to rise up finally and say, it's our time. And hopefully McDaniels builds this franchise to be long-term winners. You know, every year we get out of the rut. But I love the fact that all our players want to be Raiders, you know, because I want to be a Raider fan. I know I'm Raiders in my blood, you know what I mean? And I mean, it means more than, like you said, any of the other sports teams. It's a family. You know, Raider Nation's a family. I think the Raider Nation is bigger than the team. You know what I mean? Like, it's that's why it's the nation, you know? Yeah. It's not just Las Vegas. And and you know what? Hopefully it's our time to shine.
I got into an argument with one of the coaches, just so that you guys know, I coach high school football as well as, you know, teach high school and, you know, do this podcasting and play in a band. Man, I'm busy. But one of the coaches was clowning me because I referenced the Raiders as we. You know, I'm like, oh, I think we have a good shot. And he's like, hold on, coach. Did you just say we? He's like, are you on the team? I'm like, no, fool. But I'm part of Raider Nation, so I'm allowed to say we. And I guarantee you Al Davis would be fine with that because, yep. Again, this is not like other teams. You know, sure, if you're a Dolphins fan, maybe it's dumb to say we, but Al Davis wanted to create a culture that was universal, and I think that he's done that. So again, I would posit that you are allowed to say we when referencing the Raiders, because we, as in we the fans, are just as big as the team and the owner. I mean, that's why the Black Hole, dude, that's why they have members of the Black Hole getting voted into the Fan Hall of Fame, right? Yeah. Was it Dominator that was voted this past year? When we're nominating fans, and that's the thing, we recognize fans, like, we know what those dudes look like, and they're just fans, you know what I mean?
I mean, look at the Raiders, like, content creators online right now. Like, there's so many of them that are just getting bigger and bigger, and they're all kind of joining together, and I mean, I don't know how much of a living they're making off of it or whatever, but I mean, the fans do mean something, you know? And you go to these Raider games, if you've been to a Raider game in Oakland or even in Vegas, you know, you'll see everybody out there. You know, you'll see what it's all about, you know? And if you're a fan of the team or not, just go check out that vibe. And this is coming from a bunch of people. You'll see us in the tailgating and barbecuing and celebrating this team, even though we haven't had a winning season.
Yeah.
You know, 2016 beside it, you know, in like a couple of decades, right? Yep.
Well, that's why I think that other fans hate Raider fans so much. They hate us
because they ain't us. Oh, boy.
They hate us because they ain't us. All right. Well, we gave our predictions for the game in the last episode. What did you say again?
28. I think I was at 28-7 or something like that.
I think I said 28-17. You know, and again, we apologize again for the last episode. Just a lot of technical difficulties. Hopefully this episode made up for it. And we should be past those technical difficulties. It looks like this one recorded perfectly. So that's great news.
Hey, can we touch up really quick? I don't think we mentioned it, but the Lions beating the Chiefs, first game of the NFL season, you guys. And, you know, I watched that whole game, and I think I text Vato Vince, man, and I was like, a Chiefs loss is almost as good as a Raiders win.
Yeah.
I was like watching the game. I was excited to get home and watch the Chiefs because it feels like a Raider game. You know, you're always rooting. If any team I want to lose, it's the Chiefs.
I know.
And I got that loss from them, and they look garbage with, I'm going to say it, they look garbage without Kelce. Lost. The receivers were lost.
I think Kadarius Toney had to go into witness protection program because he's the most hated man in Kansas City. And you know what? Good.
They put him on IR because his hands are broken. Glad.
Did you see that freaking Patrick Mahomes didn't even like say good game? As soon as the game ended, he ran into the locker room like a little bitch.
Like he doesn't want them to film him crying.
Yeah, dude, I cannot stand him. He's like, oh, well, you know.
Kermit the Frog.
I was throwing the ball to my receivers, but they kept dropping the ball, so it was really difficult.
That's not bad, dude. I'm with that one. Hey, what do you guys think of that?
I'm supposed to be the best quarterback in the league, but instead I can't seem to make a pass.
Oh, man. Where's Kelsey?
And my wife is irritating, and my brother keeps getting arrested.
Oh, boy.
Boy, oh man!
I know. Sometimes I do feel bad for him when I see him with his wife and brother. Like, you poor bastard.
I don't feel bad for him at all. I cannot stand that son of a bitch.
Oh man, that's funny. Hey, but you know what? The Chiefs lost, and they're the only team in the league as of right now. We got real football tomorrow morning, guys. First full Sunday of football tomorrow.
And the AFC West standings. We have a 3-way tie for first place, and they by themselves in last place.
The Chiefs.
City Chiefs.
Hey, I'm going to enjoy it while I can. So that's why I wanted to bring that up.
Hey, and I also want to mention, Raider Nation, that statistically the worst quarterback in football as of right now, Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, true that. Yep. So, hey.
It couldn't have happened to a bigger asshole. All right. Well, I guess we'll call it there, Raider Nation. But thanks again for sticking with us and, continually subscribing. I mean, we're still getting more subscribers every day, and that's fantastic. And we hope that you enjoy our content, and we hope that you continue to enjoy our content. But until then, we will talk to you guys later. Let's hope for a Raider victory on Sunday. And, of course, we'll be there to talk about it next week, probably around Saturday.
Hopefully celebrating a victory.
Yeah, celebrating a victory. But until then, we'll stay the course, and we'll stay optimistic, and we'll hope for the best for this season. This has been Matty Mayhem speaking for Sean Carnage. This has been another episode of Down with the Ship, and we'll see you guys later.
Peace out.